Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Awkward in Iceland. What's the Icelandic word for unemployment?
Mr. Prime Minister, what can you tell me about a company called Vintris?
Well, it's a company, if I recall correctly.
Ooh, awkwardness. Vintris is actually a secret shell company allegedly stashed with cash by Iceland's Prime Minister, Sigmundur Gunnlaugsson, and his wife. The Prime Minister is speaking there. The questions came after his name was one of the first to tumble out of the massive Panama Papers financial leaks. These angry protests on the streets of Reykjavik, Iceland, happened almost immediately after the revelations about Gunnlaugsson and his wife were made public. And it's just the beginning from the biggest financial leak of offshore tax shelters and secret bank accounts in history. Millions of documents implicating hundreds of public officials. As for Prime Minister Gunnlaugsson and his company Vintris, he didn't even survive the day. He's already resigned and his government is in complete turmoil. There's likely to be much more political turmoil inside the files of this Panamanian law firm, Mossack Fonseca. President Obama noted that billions of dollars floating off into some illicit fantasy land doesn't exactly make it easier to address challenges here at home.
This is all net outflows of money that could be spent on the pressing needs here in the United States. And the volume that you start seeing when you combine legal tax avoidance with illicit tax avoidance some of the activities that we're seeing. This is not just billions of dollars. It's not even just hundreds of billions of dollars. Estimates are this may be trillions of dollars worldwide, and it could make a big difference in terms of what we can do here.
James Henry is a former chief economist at McKinsey and an attorney who's written extensively on the inner workings of clandestine financial networks. How do you stumble into this world? How does it find you? James Henry says it's quite easy to imagine.
Well, if you imagine the bar at Star Wars, you have a collection of characters from all over the planet. You have money launderers, you have arms dealers, you have, in this case, leading public officials. I think we're now up to 140 public officials, including quite a few prime ministers. And what they're gathered to do is to, basically keep their offshore wealth secret. And places like Panama in this case, but, more than 91 havens around the world basically act as conduits to the ultimate investing places like the United States and the UK and Switzerland, providing secrecy for lots of people who are up to dubious activities.
Now, I get the drug cartel business and the money laundering for, like blackmail and counterfeiters for that matter. I know what they have to do, and they've got the phone numbers scrawled on their little notebooks, and it's been that way for hundreds of years. But if somebody gets into public office, it seems to me the last thing you want to do is pick up the phone and go inquiring around in some strange sort of way. So how does the pitch happen, or how does somebody ask around? I mean, that's the thing that's so mysterious to me.
Well, this is not something that you do as you're in your own capacity. There's a whole industry, the global haven industry, that consists of leading law firms, banks, accounting firms. And in this case, one particular 42 million revenue bank law firm in Panama. And they are enablers. They basically, Vladimir Putin didn't go to Panama to set up his accounts. His people talk to other people, and one thing leads to another. But it's basically a network of sophisticated professionals who are making a very nice living simply by offering secrecy and financial chicanery for the world's elite. In this case, we've shined light on another particularly egregious kind of behavior, which is kleptocracy. This is you usually talk about these places as tax havens, but in fact, in this case, we have public officials all over the planet helping themselves to public treasury and then getting rich and then hiding the money offshore. So the prime minister of Pakistan, the president of Ukraine. You know, there's no proof at this point absolutely that these people have been guilty of crimes, but certainly a lot of smoke, and investigators are now going to spend a lot of time going through these files very, very carefully.
And it's a peculiar version of public service. I mean, I've served my people, and, you know, I need a little security in my later years. Don't you think I should have that, James?
Well, they seem to feel entitled. But for many developing countries, this is a much more serious problem than tax dodging or even financial chicanery. This involves, you know, their political classes engaged in corruption, selling their services to private interests and allowing themselves to be able to conceal the fruits of all this offshore and then enjoy it after they leave office. We have quite a few ex-prime ministers here implicated as well. So, you know, this is not new behavior. We have known about this for 40, 50 years. I mean, in the 1970s, I was going to, you know, I was covering a case called the Castle Bank and Trust that involved offshore havens. In the 1980s, I went to Panama and ran across this very same law firm, which was helping Noriega at that point. And we've had case after case from the Marcos money to the BCCI to the latest scandals involving Credit Suisse and UBS and wealthy Americans. We've just known about this for years. The puzzle has always been why we didn't really have the world community crack down on it.
Is there a world governance solution here where you could tie the financial system so closely into a transparent, globally watched institution that this sort of thing would be almost impossible to do except on a very small scale?
I think the answer is yes. The real issues here are political, not technical. For example, if you simply had a requirement that banks have to know their customers, and that means not just knowing the companies that they are showing up, but also knows who the beneficial owners are, and that those beneficial owners of companies and trusts have to be registered and public so we know who the owners actually are, that would go a major way toward cleaning some of this up. If you had public officials have to declare their offshore wealth, their onshore wealth, and file tax returns in public, that would be another simple measure that we could adopt. But it's not something that any one country can do alone, and I think that's one of the problems. You have to get countries together, and many of the wealthiest countries, like the United States and the UK, have very powerful banking lobbies that have resisted that because a lot of this money ultimately ends up not in the haven countries, but back in the first world.
I just have to figure this leak has just got disgruntled former employee, "Hi, I can fix you. You're out of business now," all over it, don't you think?
I've known quite a few whistleblowers, and in my experience, most of them are pretty well-motivated in the sense of not being necessarily having personal motives for doing this. It may be the case. We don't know at this point. But a lot of whistleblowers just want to do the right thing. And the problem has been, and this is not only in the case of the banking industry, but also we've seen, you know, our own government cracking down on journalists and their sources. They're not treated very well. And so one of the themes here that's very important to recognize is that this kind of revelation, the largest leak in history, didn't come about by virtue of law enforcement or governments. It came about by virtue of a combination of a network of journalists all across the planet and a few whistleblowers who stepped forward. And so I like to think that those people need to be helped and rewarded for, and at least commended for, their behavior.
James Henry, former chief economist at McKinsey and an attorney who's written extensively on the inner workings of clandestine financial networks. So a massive data leak raises questions about the rich and powerful and all their money. How free should people be to keep financial secrets from Newport, Rhode Island? Financial privacy should be paramount because hackers can do greater damage to those who are not rich.
This is Becky from Minneapolis. And in this particular breach, I don't feel sorry for the people involved. I feel like, you know, people in general are corrupt. And if these people are corrupt, they should own it. And then we, the people, need to do something about it.
From Ambler, Pennsylvania, they can keep secrets, but evading taxes is illegal. Maybe some income concessions for privacy are acceptable because personal finances need not be anyone's business unless someone is doing something illegal. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number. You can comment at facebook.com/thetakeaway.